Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity and for this gift you have given us. Help us to understand more of the purpose of this gift and how we can use it. God, give us wisdom and opportunities. And I pray that many people, God, will be reached to your kingdom. We will be led to you, we will be led to Christ as a result of the things we are talking about today. I thank you that you will lead us as we seek to serve you and use this gift. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In one large city, there was a man that went to this second-hand bookstore. Yeah, and he was looking for, he was in the section of, he asked for the section of religious books. So he goes into the shop and he's directed to the back, you know, back to another section in the back of the second-hand store. And he's looking and, you know, he can't really find what he any book he says that he was interested in. So the guy working there asked, you know, so which author do you prefer? What are you looking for? And he said, Mr. Ellen White. That was what he was looking for. And then he said, oh, that's different. Her books are, you know, they're not in the back here with all, you know, these religious books. They are in the front there with the Bibles. You know, they are in a class by themselves. That was what the owner or the worker at this second-hand shop said to this man when he was looking for her books. And truly, I believe, you know, the spirit of prophecy, these books that God has given us in spirit of prophecy, they are in a class by themselves. There are truly good reason to give these messages our special attention. And I think truly these messages, these books ought to have a special place in our lives and in our ministry. And yeah, so that's what we're going to talk about today. There is a reason why God rose up an end-time prophet, why God gave this prophet 2,000 visions, why God inspired her to write 100,000 pages, 25 million words. 100,000 pages, that's about 30 times as much, or 25 million words, that's about 30 times as much as the Bible. There is a reason for that. Ellen White is the third most translated author in history, and the most translated American author ever, but men or women. And there is a reason. God saw that we needed a special gift. We needed, we that are blind, Laodicea, we needed some extra help to see and understand. It's really interesting, by the way, it's a lot of links to the Laodicean message. Her name you find in there. You find, yeah, anyway, I'm not going to go into all of that. But I think this is an important, at least an important part, at the least, of the remedy of the Laodicean Church to help us see things as we need to see them, to understand the message of the Bible that we couldn't understand as we should. Anyway, I'm right now working, or in the process of becoming an electrician. It's a tent maker trade. And this is a place I worked a little bit some time ago. And can any one of you guess these three lamps? How much do you think they cost in total? Any guesses? It's interesting to learn things like that.
Are they made of glass?
Not regular glass. They were, I don't know actually exactly the material. Anyone, any guesses? 5,000 crowns?
Yeah.
Actually, they cost 70,000 crowns. That is about 8,000 euro. Now look at this. In total, this trade. So about 8,000 euro, 70,000 crowns. It's crazy. And think of some. This fall, I was working a little bit, not exactly this store, but in an H&M store in a shopping center. It wasn't a really big store. It wasn't a small one either. It was pretty regular store. And H&M, it's a Swedish multinational retail clothing company. It's actually the second largest global clothing retailer in the world. They exist in 55 countries, 3,500 stores, and had in 2013 116,000 people employed. Now, in the store I was working, someone told me the amount of money they use for lights in this store, that wasn't very big, was 1 million crowns. It's about 110,000 euro. They had, you know, down lights. We were installing down lights from the down to light up the room, and then on the products. And the thing is, that's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. These people, you know, they understand the importance of light. They understand the importance of how a product is presented. You know, they are all over the world, the second largest. They understand, they are carefully thought through how they are going to build their stores, how they are going to present their products, to sell it. And the reason why I'm telling you this is how we present something makes a big difference. Business people, they usually understand that pretty well. How we present something makes a big difference. That's also the case, or in other words, you could say, how someone receives something is largely dependent on how it is presented. And that's also, I believe, the case many times with the gospel and the writings of Ellen White. How we present these things, how we present it when we want to share it, that largely will depend how it will be received. Now, I believe the product is more important than how it's presented, but both are important. Both are important. So, what we're going to do in this workshop is we're going to, talk about how can we share this great treasure and powerful tool that God have given us. That's the main thing we're going to look at. But before that, I want to say a little bit about why should we want to share it? Why, to kind of like as an introduction to that. And before we go into that, some disclaimers, I guess you could call it. It's not like we only should share Ellen White. There are other good materials as well. This is not like the only thing we should share. But it is a powerful tool I think God has given us that he wants us to share. And some of the principles we'll look at later on how is also useful for other areas, you know. Though the specific angle I have this workshop is for Ellen White. And as you can imagine, we don't have time to cover all do's and don'ts on how to share this, but I want to share some things that I have found helpful. So first, why? Why? It's interesting, when you see in the history of the church, in the history of Christianity, all up through the history, you see how the printed word in general has played an important role. The printed word has played a very important role. For instance, in the early church, God inspired, what was it, like 8 authors to write 27 books, which was included in the New Testament. And in addition to that, there were other books as well that God, in his wisdom, saw not to include in the Bible. For instance, Paul's letter to the Laodicean church. He also wrote the Laodicean church. So books played a significant role in that time, in the early church, in the spreading of the gospel to the world. We don't have time to say much about it, but it played an important role. Not only that, if you fast forward about 1400 years, Johannes Gutenberg invented printing press in 1439. And by the way, anyone of you know, what was the first book that was printed? It wasn't Ellen White. It was the Bible. The Bible. And actually, it's quite interesting. Quite recently, let me see, I think I wrote it down here. One page of the copies that was printed on this press in 2012 was valued to $100,000, US dollars. Quite interesting. It's 49 copies, I think, still existing that was printed there. Anyway, I think it's very interesting the time this invention came. I don't believe it was a coincidence that it came in the time it came. It came in when the most powerful revival and reformation since the early church was on its way. Then this great tool came, and it played a very important role, history tells us, or we see in history, in the reformation. And for instance, much could say about it, but Ellen White writes that in those days, the truth, talking about the Reformation, was brought home to the people through the press. Luther's pen was a power, and his writings, scattered broadcasts, stirred the world. So the written word in that time played a very important role in the work God was doing throughout the world. So we see it in the early church, in the spreading of the gospel in that time. We see it in the Reformation, the most powerful revival and Reformation since that time. And if you fast forward once more to 300 years, to the Advent movement, we see yet again how printed word played a very important role. For instance, one author said it like this, without this vital publication, talking about the Review and Herald, specifically right here, without this vital publication, the Seventh-day Adventist Church would never have come into existence or would have been long delayed. And when I have been reading a little bit the history of our church and seen the importance displayed in the church for unity, for you know, in fellowship and different things, it really played, the printed word since the very beginning of the Advent movement, played a very important role, and it has ever since it started. It has had a very important role. And specifically, the books, the printed messages that have had the most important role in our movement is, as you could imagine, the writings of Ellen White. So we see again and again in the early church, in the Reformation, in the Advent movement, the printed word has played a crucial role. But not only that. Let's fast forward once more to the very end of this earth's history, to our time. We have been told that in the finishing of the work, again, the printed word will play a very important role. Listen to, here we have some statements. There are many similar statements, but this is from testimonies. Ellen White writes, listen to this, really powerful. In a large degree, through our publishing houses, is to be accomplished the work of that other angel who comes down from heaven with great power and who lightens the earth with his glory. Talking about Revelation 18, the fourth angel. In a large degree, in other words, in a large degree, the work will be finished through the tool of the printed word. It will play an important role in the finishing of the work. Another statement says, you know, she talks about how, you know, the great revival will come and more than 1,000 will soon be converted in one day, most of whom will trace their first convictions to the reading of our publications. So this time when a lot of people come in, you know, many of them, it started with a book they received yesterday from one of you. Really? The pamphlet. Sometimes it takes years, so for many it will take a long time. Another statement is saying, you know, when it describes this powerful revival and the great controversy, you know, it says there, some, it talks about how some have waited, have been convinced, but because of family and different things, they haven't decided to take the stand for the truth. But then the time will come. It says the publications distributed by missionary workers have exerted their influence. A large number take their stand upon the Lord's side. There's lots of quotes like this. The printed word will yet again, in the end, as it has all through the history of Christianity, play a very important role. And specifically, we don't have time really to look on so many quotes on it, but specifically, the writings of Ellen White will also, until the very end, play an essential role, an important, crucial role. So, now, some people think, I want to say a little bit about that. Some people think that, you know, Ellen White played an important role in her day, you know, in the beginning of our movement. You know, she was important. She was a prophet. She played an important role in that time. But we don't really need her today. I don't know, have any of you heard someone kind of think, you know, too many people think like that. But really, that's a serious mistake. That's a serious mistake. And I believe that's one example of how her writings is made of non-effect today. Because if you say that, it doesn't have the effect it was meant to have. And the thing is, if you really believe that she was a prophet, you ought to listen to what she says herself about what role God had given, you know, appointed her to. And when we do that, you cannot come to that conclusion if you honestly consider what she says. So let's consider just briefly what she herself says about her own role. We don't have time to look so much on it. But I want to, since many people think this, I want to touch on this a little bit. So this is shortly how, you know, a short summary that I write in my book. In the writings of Ellen White, we have the information needed for the rest of the journey, she says. Her writings, which she described as the most important books that have ever come before the churches and the world, that's a pretty, you know, shows us this has an important role. It had a very important role since they came, and it ought to have until now. She says they will constantly speak as long as time shall last. It's not like, okay, when I'm dead, now it's over. You can put it away. No, she says the opposite. They will constantly speak as long as time shall last. She also writes, or with other words, all the way up till the second coming, God intends to speak through these messages. Not only that, the work of the writings will go forward, she says, as long as time shall last. And that's pretty, when you consider how important influence it had in that time, that's a pretty strong statement. That shows us, wow, it's going to have an important role today. Yeah. And after her death, she prophesied the messages would be of even more vital force than when she was living. And, you know, if you look up, it's interesting, I studied, I will not if you look up the word vital and force, you know, it's quite a strong word. Vital, essential, absolutely necessary, for powerful impact. You know, they have even more essential, necessary impact and influence after her death, she says. So to conclude, is it correct to say that Ellen White was a prophet with an important function in the beginning of our movement, but we don't really need her today? God's answer, through his servant, is a resounding no. Rather, she is of special importance today. We are told that her function today until the second coming is more important, extremely important. It's vital, absolutely necessary, it's essential. God wants her to have an even stronger and even more powerful influence in the church and in the world today. God wants her to equip and change the motion of the body of Christ as never before. In light of the mighty impact she had in the world and in our church during her 70 years of active ministry, this is truly an astounding and hopeful statement. Fellow Christian, Ellen White wasn't just a prophet for that generation, she is truly a prophet for this generation. God rose her up to instruct, equip, encourage, and protect us all the way from 1844 until we safely reach the heavenly harbor. And it is of utmost importance that we earnestly hear and heed the testimony of Jesus through his prophet for these last days. Let's be all ears, what do you say? So that's a little bit on that. Okay, so why should we share the writings of Ellen White? Two reasons. Is God asked us to. Could answer much more on this, but two reasons is God asked us to. And her writings are of even more vital and powerful, or to be even more vital and powerful in the time of the end. A third reason is that they are changing lives. Her writings are changing lives. They do indeed still change life this very day. If we had more time, we could say a lot about that as well. But they have played, they have played a critical role. Oh, what is happening with that slide? Disappeared. They have played a critical role in the lives of, I think I have it here. Yeah, in the lives of people like Sebastian Braxton, Ted Wilson, Daniel Pearl, Chris Berger, Doug Batchelor, Steve Wahlberg, Derek Morris, John Bradshaw, David Ashrick. A critical role in the lives of these people, which have in turn impacted thousands and thousands of individuals all over the world, all over the globe. And you know, this is just some example. She is still indeed having a powerful impact in this world. And could you imagine? Just think about this. We have many powerful people up through history in Christianity. We have Martin Luther, Wesley, people like this. But could you tell me people today that were converted by reading these guys? I can't really, like, it's, think about it. She died 100 years ago, but still she's having this tremendous impact. And it's just really, really remarkable to see the impact she has today. These are really, I think, God-given messages to this day, to the very end of this earth's history. God knew what people wanted, what they needed to hear, to wake up, to receive Christ. Okay, so now, so that's a third reason. It's still changing lives today. Now, there is a statement that some of you have some of you heard someone say something like this? Don't you know that Ellen White says, you know, the testimony should not be brought to the front? Don't you know that Ellen White says, you know, the Bible and the Bible alone should be quoted from the pulpits? Have any of you heard something like that? Yeah? Yeah? The thing is, yeah, she says something like that. She says, here is a quote from Prophet and Kings. She says, the words of the Bible and the Bible alone should be heard from the pulpit. And this is kind of a transition into how to share, what we're getting into now. She says, this is an exact quote from her pen. Now, in order to understand what she means with this, it's important, like always, you know, when you read something, it's important to see both the immediate context and the larger context of this statement. And when you do, you get a rather different picture than, you know, it sounds like when some people, how they use it. So, why does she say this? How should we relate to this? What does she mean? Do you have any thoughts on that? What is this about? Should we only quote the Bible from the pulpit? Then we have done quite some mistakes this conference, myself included. What is this about? In short, she don't say that we shouldn't quote her in church. That's not what she says. When you study the context and other statements on the topic, she doesn't say, you should not quote me in church. That's not what she says, very clear. Another thing is this quote we just read, when you read the context, she's writing here, she is contrasting the Bible, sharing of the Bible and preaching of the word, with sharing of fable and tradition. She said, it's a contrast with that. It's the Bible, it's the word of God that should be preached. So that's good to have in mind. That's the context. And other places, which makes it even clearer that this is not, you know, what she means, that we shouldn't quote her at all. There are many examples of how she was in her time urging the churches to read testimonies. She sent testimonies to specific churches. She urged them to read the testimonies in the church. So obviously, she doesn't say, don't quote me in church. Don't quote me in church. So, what does she say on this topic? We don't have time to look on all the quotes on it, but in essence, one thing she says is that we should, actually. It's not that we should not, but we should, actually. She encourages us to share the testimonies with believers. That's something we should do, actually. So it's actually the opposite of what some people use this to. They say you shouldn't use it, but she actually says you should use it. So that's one thing when we see other quotes. But one thing you see in several statements, and that's kind of what people, I guess, misunderstand, some of them. She says, in public labor or in personal conversation, you know, in witnessing or personal conversation with people that are not believers in the testimonies, that don't regard her as an authority, we shouldn't quote her as an authority. We shouldn't make her prominent. We shouldn't. And of course, that makes sense. You know, it's like having an evangelistic meeting and says, Ellen White says this, so therefore, this is true. Accept the Sabbath. Like, come on, that's stupid. Like, that's kind of what she says. Yeah. And that's a good counsel. It's a good counsel. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't quote her at all to unbelievers, but you should quote her in a different way. You can quote C.S. Lewis. You can quote Ellen White. You don't need to say, this is a prophet. You need to accept it. Like, but still, you know, she can be helpful. She can beautifully describe something you see in the Bible. You know. So, and that's, it helps people to understand the Bible. So a few lessons we can take from this on how to share Ellen White is that we should quote her to believers. When it comes to unbelievers, we should not make her prominent or not quote her as an authority. And some lessons. We shouldn't overquote her, I think. That can be a good thing. We shouldn't like only quote her or quote her all the time, you know. Or like some people even, they have the quotes from her like in the Bible. It almost sounds like, it looks like, you know, we read from the Bible. Like we have added something to the Bible. I would try to avoid something like that, you know, to not give a false impression to other Christians. Don't use her as an authority for people who doesn't regard her as. Instead you can quote her just, you know, just as Ellen White writes, or, you know, my favorite author, or, you know, a known author, or just say in Desire Radius, you know. You can just say something like that. You don't need to say a prophet said it. You know. It can just create prejudice. And if they don't know, you know, they will be more open to receive it than if they have prejudice. If you say it's a prophet, they think, oh, that sounds weird. I don't believe she's a prophet, you know. Then they will be more. But for Adventists, they know the Desire Radius was written by Ellen White, which is a prophet. So many times when I preach to maybe some that believe in her and some don't, you know, if you kind of say weird, but not, you know, those who regard her as an authority, they will take her as an authority. So, another way is to quote her in a way that gives confidence rather than destroy. That could be by showing it from the Bible first, the point, and you just use her again to just describe a little bit, you know, to second what the Bible says. And people say, hey, what she says makes sense. It fits with the Bible, you know. Or it could be to quote her, sometimes even with Adventists. Not Adventists have confidence in her, yeah. Sometimes when I talk with Adventists, where I know I preach to some people that don't like her so much, if I know that they like something, they agree with her on some points, I like to share what she says. And did you know that Ellen White says, you know? And then that will make them more favorable to her, you know. It's like, try to give them some more confidence. And it can be good also to avoid unnecessary details or points that it's not so important. That will just create prejudice and people say, how can you know that, you know? Sometimes it's best to leave them out. If people have prejudice, if people don't have, you know. So that's some thoughts on that. Another thing that I do sometimes, you know, when I preach, talk with people, We can share the point, the message of what she writes, without quoting her. But we can say it with confidence. Sometimes I preach and I say something with confidence because I know she says it, and even though they don't believe it, I know it's true. And they don't know where I got it from, maybe. They think, you know, it fits with the Bible and whatever. Sometimes you can just say the point without saying, Ellen White said this and that, and it will reach further, you know. They will be more likely to receive it. So, okay, that's just some thought on that. Now, how to share Ellen White? How to share Ellen White? We'll see how much we have time to cover, but I have 17 points that I thought of. Most of them I will just look on quite short. Some of them are very simple. So I think we probably will have time, at least most of them, or touch on them briefly. Number one is to, you know, pray for wisdom. It's a simple one, but pray for wisdom, but very important still, and divine appointments. You know, it's not up to us to convict people, and to, you know, pray that God will lead us in contact with people that He wants to reach, that He wants to read these things. He wants to get the message out, and this is a prayer we can be sure He will answer. If we want to use these tools, if we want to be a tool in God's hands, He will lead us in contact with people that we can share messages with. So that's number one. And number two, be positive and enthusiastic. You know, whatever you try to sell or share, being positive and enthusiastic makes a big difference, yeah? Makes a big difference. And business people understand the value of these things. One a little interesting example of that is, have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about, you know, in a clock or a watch advertisement, not a digital one, but when you have indicators or pointers to show where the time is. Have you ever thought about what time is it in the advertisement? How are the pointers, you know? Yeah, exactly. Look at this. They're always, everyone I've seen at least, they're like 10 to 2 or 10 past 2 or something like that. Like a smiley, yeah? I've never seen the opposite, like a sad face. And that's not a coincidence. Business people understand, you know, this is not exactly a human being, but still, they understand, and usually, like, you know, medicine, they have usually white clothes, like, they think about things like this. You know, how you present something makes a big difference. So, being positive and enthusiastic, that's one thing that is very helpful. And if you have been blessed by something, you can be confident that it's a blessing to others, too. And if you aren't positive and enthusiastic about these things, then read more and pray that God will make you positive and enthusiastic about these things. And I think you will do that. Answer that prayer. Number three, share your own experience. Share maybe shortly of how you have been blessed by this message. You know, and that's usually if you want to share something or sell something, if you can say, hey, this has been great help for me, you know, that's one of the best things you can say. But it should be short usually, to the point, not very long, but to say something, hey, this has been a great blessing to me, and I think it would be to you as well. I want to share this with you. That's one of the best things I think we can say when we share that. Another thing, you know, is just to encourage people simply to read. Usually, or many times maybe, it would not be smart to say, hey, this is a prophet, God rose up, and I want you to read this, this is for our time. You know, some people, might be fine. Some people might know that we believe she is a prophet, and, you know, it's not that we really try to hide, but sometimes it makes more prejudice. If they just read it for themselves before they hear about all this, they can, without prejudice, get an idea of the truthfulness of these messages. So that can be helpful. Another thing is always be ready and use every opportunity. Always be ready and use every opportunity. You know, if you, for instance, a good thing to, I think, use gifts like this or books like this, or could be other books too, but that's if you are going to give a thank you gift to someone. You know, we did yesterday. We gave them a book, yeah. The workers here, a T-shirt and a book. That's nice. And you know, that's a good opportunity. If you want to thank someone for something, give them some truth. You know, give them. It's a good thing. Or if you want to, if someone helps you with something, maybe on the road with your car, whatever it is, why not give them something as a thank you for that as well? Or if you are buying something or selling something, you can just give a little book as well. It's a part of the deal, you know. Just use every opportunity you have. Like, if we do that, man, we can get out a lot of books, you know, that people, yeah. And anyway, she did take advantage of many different opportunities. There is a fascinating story that I would like to just share briefly. She was on a trip. It was in 1853. And they were going by carriage to this. They had a speaking appointment. But for some reason, though the guy who was driving, he knew the way. Somehow he has lost his way. And they got really lost, really lost. They came far out in the forest, they have no clue where they were. They were like really completely lost. And usually he really knew the way. Like, it was weird. They couldn't understand it. And Miss White, she was ill in that time. They didn't have food. They didn't have water. The journey went on for hours. But finally, they found this little cabin, log cabin in the forest. And they were invited in. They given some refreshments. And they learned their way there. Or they were told where to go, you know. And so anyway, she was able to witness a little bit to her and to this lady. And she talked about the Sabbath and about the second coming and some different things, and in them, before she left, she gave her one of her little books, a sketch of the Christian experience, and used one of her first writings she gave to this lady. Now 22 years passed by, and often, you know, Ellen White, she had thought about this experience and she wondered why they had lost the way that day. You know, they were going to go and speak and they couldn't understand. They had a long, tough journey, you know. They had to drive 40 miles instead of 15, you know, miles, which takes quite some time on horse. But after 22 years, on the Michigan camp meeting, 1876, there comes up, and actually I want to read how she describes it herself. Ellen White describes it like this. After the meeting, on this camp meeting, after the meeting closed, a sister took me heartily by the hand, expressing great joy at meeting Sister White again. She inquired if I remembered calling at a log house in the woods 22 years before. She gave us refreshments, and I left with them a little book, Experiences and Views. She stated that she had lent that little book to her neighbors, as new families had settled around her, until that there was very little left of it. She said that when I called upon her, I talked to her of Jesus and the beauties of heaven, and that the words were spoken with such fervor that she was charmed and had never forgotten them. Since that time, the Lord had sent ministers to preach the truth to them, and now there was quite a company observing the Sabbath. For 22 years, our wanderings on this journey have seemed indeed mysterious to us, but here we met quite a company who are now believers in the truth, who date their first experience from the influence of that little book. Isn't that a powerful story? 22 years went by, but the little book they gave to them who were helping them, yeah, converted a lot of people. It's power in these books. And when we use every opportunity, she writes, I don't have this quote up here, but she says, let leaflets and tracts, the papers and books go in every direction. Carry with you, wherever you go, a package of select tracts which you can hand out as you have opportunity. Important results will follow. That's from Christian Service 151. So we are counseled to always have materials with us, books, pamphlets, you know, clothes, whatever. There will be important results. There will be many people that will be reached through that. So always be ready. Use every opportunity, and a lot of people will be led to the truth. Number six, kind of goes a little hand in hand with this, but it's a little more specific, is use holidays and special occasions. Holidays, festivals, special occasions is a great opportunity to share the truth. Just think about Christmas and Easter. Isn't that a perfect time, you know, to give someone a desire wages or a steps to Christ, you know? Like, hey, this is what Christmas is about. Like, we should use these things. It's not like these things are holy, but, you know, we should use it for what it is worth, yeah. Birthdays, why not give someone a great book as a birthday gift, you know? Or graduations. My brother, Christian, when he graduated from nursing school, he and his friend, they gave a great controversy, actually, to everyone in the study. I think it was like 120 people and to some of the teachers. Like, why not use opportunity? Like, if someone you know graduates, why not, you know, use special occasions. It's a good excuse to give them something, you know. It's natural to give them something. Who would say, no, I don't want it? Like, come on, they will take it, you know. So use special holidays and special occasions. Another one that it kind of goes hand in hand, what we just talked about, have a place in your home, in your car, in your jacket, in your bag. Ellen White talks about her. Ted Wilson wrote an article not so long ago where he encouraged us to actually have a dedicated pocket that we are dedicated for literature, for gloves, or for things like that. And I think that's a great idea. After that, I thought, hey, I want to start to do that. I want to have a. If we always have some materials in our car, in, you know, everywhere, we will get a lot of opportunities we wouldn't have otherwise. So that's kind of a practical way to put, you know, the other in practice that we are counseling to do, to have it with us, have a space for it, have a place for it, and yeah, you will get used for it. Another thing that it makes a big difference is offer an attractive form of the book. Now, I'm sure you have seen, there are quite big differences of how the books look like. This is, for instance, Great Controversy in Norwegian. Would you want to read this one? Like a thick, I don't know, ugly little thing. Still, they have a lot of them, and still people give them out. But I don't know, it's not really the most appealing thing to sit down to read, especially for someone maybe that don't love to read, you know. And sure, God can use it, but I think it's much more likely they didn't have the Great Controversy here, or I was looking for it. But to read something like this, nicely illustrated, with nice pictures, you know, like when you have, you see, you know, some books you just want, when you look on them, you want to read it. They are inviting you to read, right? And it's actually quite interesting. I talked to Allan Jensen, he's the vice president of Hitai Scandinavian, leader of Akotryk. When they illustrated the Great Controversy and some of these books, yeah, they used the same text that had been used for years in books like this. But now, they started to get a lot of calls from people that said, you know, it's a mistake here and here and there and that. And, you know, it seemed like now the mistakes were discovered. Because now people were reading the books. They didn't just stand on the shelves. And he told me, I think it was in Tanzania, they had had thousands of copies of, again, but then they used the same text with a nice layout. And they also got a lot of people contacted them about mistakes. Lots of mistakes. Sure, maybe they got some contacts before. But it just illustrates that if you have nice layouts, much more people will actually, it's much more likely that people will read it and use it. So that's a simple thing that still makes a big difference. So it's not maybe always possible, but if it isn't in your country or language, maybe you can help to make it possible. That would be something. That would be great. So use a nice, attractive form of the book. Number 9, simple, but can also be a nice thing, wrap the books. Wrap the books, especially if it's for a special occasion. Maybe sometimes it could be a little weird to do it, maybe. But still, you know, if someone receives a, you know, a nicely wrapped present, who would throw it off? Like, it's much harder, you know, it's much more likely, I think, that people would value it more, that they would, it would be received more favorably, it would be more special. You know, it's a reason why people are wrapping presents, right? So why not use it for the best present? Yeah. True. Books. Okay. Number 10. Give 2 gifts or more. Give 2 gifts or more. What I mean with that is, if you only give someone a spiritual book, they might kind of think like, oh, he just wants to convert me. They might not be so happy about it, yeah. They might not receive it so favorably. They don't feel maybe that you care so much for them, but you just want to, I don't know, convert them. But if you give them maybe 2 books, maybe 3 gifts, where one of them is a, you know, a book, a truth-filled book, and maybe something else, it's much more likely that they feel that you care about them. It's not only that you want to convert them, but you want to give them something. You want their best. And right, as we have talked about this conference, Christ's method alone, right, he mingled with them as one who desired their good. They saw that he desired their good. And then they were prepared to answer his call to follow him. So I think that's a simple thing, but I think it can make a big difference. That's what we did yesterday as well. We gave them a t-shirt and a book. It's not only a book, and I think that's smart. Smart. Another thing, simple thing that can really make a big difference is write a personal message in the book. Write a personal message. Of course, if you don't know them, it's weird. You can't do that. But if you know them, like David Ashrick, I think many of you know him. He said he received a great controversy from some people he knew a little bit on a restaurant, right? And he said he was an atheist. He wasn't interested. He didn't want to read it. He wanted to throw it away. But because it was a personal message inside, he decided to keep it. Even though he didn't have any plans to read it, 1 year later he changed his mind and did, and changed his life. So indirectly, through that, and he has been preaching to thousands and thousands of people, right? Indirectly, that little message has really led a lot of people to Christ, you could say. So it's a simple thing, but it can really make an eternal difference. So write a personal message in the book. Number 12, write contact info in the book. So if they read it, you know, they can contact you. I think that's, we should make it as easy as possible to people, if they get an interest, to do something with it, to continue to learn. And so in Impact Norway, usually we write something like this in the end of the book. You know, do you want to know more, get to know the Bible better, join a Bible study group, professional conversation, whatever. But like, if you know that someone, it can be more personal, of course, it can be in the whatever, but write some way that they can contact you if you know them, of course, they know you as well, so you don't need to write maybe your contact info even, but anyway, that's a good thing, write your contact info. Another thing is to use these tools, these books, in various mission activities. If you go door to door, evangelistic meetings, Impact, we used to have this gift draw to everyone who comes to the meetings, and we have a nice illustrated great controversy and maybe a help book as well that people can win. And that's a natural, not scary way to give for people to give us their contact info and some evaluation and to sign up for more seminars or Bible study groups and stuff. So I think that's a nice thing. You can, for a concert, you can have a book table maybe as well with some materials, maybe some CDs, and or you could maybe even build a concert around one of the books, like Steps to Christ, Tyrannus, or something, you know, or somehow makes it even more natural to share the books afterwards. For health expos, in the end, usually on Impact, we have a trust station, and everyone who comes through the health expo, they can choose one book or one DVD or something like that. And we get out a lot of books that way. We tell them about some different things, and they can choose one. A lot of books get out, you know, through that. Give to Bible study contacts can be a great help in leading people to decide for Christ. Just some short testimonies on this. One time we had on Impact, it was, I think, not this summer, but the summer before, a lady came the second day of our expo. She came, and the day before, long story short, she had received a great controversy, and she came back, she came to the trust station again, and she had been up that night reading through this book. And she had been really impacted by this book. She started to understand the wonderful message God had given us and started to take it to heart. And so one of my friends was sitting there, invited her to evangelistic meetings we had that night. And she wanted to come, but she decided not to because she was afraid that if she came again, she couldn't sleep the next night because of everything she would hear. Like, these books are powerful, you know. Another story was Steps to Christ. A lady came back the day after. They had a really good talk, and she came back the day after, and she had really a big smile on her face, and she has really, really liked what she had started to read in this book, and was really touched by the message in that book. Another story, this is from Pastor Anil Kanda. He had Bible study with a guy that was very difficult to deal with. He tried to lead this guy to a decision. And he preached his heart out to him, you know, he really appealed to him, Bible study after Bible study, powerful appeals. This guy also came to several evangelistic series of meetings, but he just would not take a decision. He, like, nothing worked, yeah? But one guy, this man, came into his office, and he said, "Hey, I need to talk with you." Sure, sit down. And then he said, "I want to be baptized." And he, like, "What? Why?" You know, he had tried so long, and he never took a decision. But then he said, "Because of that book you gave me, that book by Edgar White," he said. "Who is Edgar White?" You know, he said. And then, like, he pointed to the bookshelf on the book, Steps to Christ. Like, think about this. What they tried, everything, nothing worked. But the book led him to the decision. And that's the case many times. You know, they are so powerful, these messages, and where nothing else would help, these books would lead people to decisions. What Bible studies, the most powerful sermons, you know, didn't work. The books did it. Another thing that is very important is share an appropriate message. Share an appropriate message. Generally, I wouldn't recommend you to give an unbeliever a copy of the testimonies to the church, you know. They are meant specifically for Adventists. It's a big difference from them and, you know, Great Controversy. She always says, "I saw, God showed me." You don't see that in Great Controversy. And the Sarvedis. Generally, I wouldn't recommend you to give you a Catholic that you don't... to give a Catholic you don't know a Great Controversy. I wouldn't recommend you to... Some people I know, they stood one time outside a state church after the service, and they're like, "Thank you for coming," and they gave them a Great Controversy. Kind of like they were part of the service. I don't think they would have done it today. But... But, like, someone could get angry and prejudice and, like, I don't think that's the best way to do it. I don't think it would be the best way to stand outside a Catholic church to do that. You know, we should be bold, and, you know, boldness have rich reward, it says in the Bible, but sometimes we also need to be tactful. Sometimes it actually damages the cause. And a good example of that, we don't have really time to read, but it's a fascinating story in the Great Controversy during the Reformation, the French Reformation, how some people decided to put up placards attacking the Mass, you know, the Catholic Church, all over France in one night. They were zealous, they wanted to get the truth out there. So, but they did it in a way that wasn't the best. And actually this led to, it was a great ruin for the cause, for the French Reformation. This led the king to decide to destroy them all. He took his side on the Rome side, and they started to persecute him. He had a serious, like, they were zealous, they wanted to do the best, they went out with the truth, but not in the most best way, the tactful way. So, share an appropriate message. You know, sometimes there are exceptions. John Harry Kabunkel, he shared a story, he gave a great controversy to a Catholic professor teaching Catholic preach. And when he heard it, he didn't want to give it, he wanted to take it back. He's like, man, I shouldn't have done this, you know. But later, he got an email from this guy, and he really liked the book. And he wanted to give one to every of his students. And a little later, he didn't work anymore there. I don't know if he was fired or what happened. But who knows? Sometimes God has different ways. But if we pray, you know, if it's generally a good principle in soul winning that Ellen White, you know, also talks about, is we should agree with people on every point we can. We should start on things we agree. We should build bridges and confidence before we start on the controversial things. It's a very important principle. Start on the controversial, if we agree with someone with a lot of stuff and they share something we don't understand or agree with, it's much more likely that we will accept it. But if they only talk about things we don't agree with, we're like, who are these guys? They're crazy. How can we, you know? So share an appropriate message. Another thing is reach people through their interests. Reach people through their interests. If someone is interested in health, the best thing to do might be to give them a ministry of healing. If they're interested in education, it could be to give them the book Education. Or, you know, things like that. Actually, I had a really fun experience this summer that I want to share briefly. It was on a health expo in Norway. We had this, my brother, he came to me. I'm sitting at the trust station in the end of the health expo. And my brother tells me, hey, this guy, you need to talk with him. He seems open. He is really interested in health. And they had talked about, you know, Wildwood and some of them. And he had heard about the China study and T. Colin Campbell. So he had heard one of them in the expo had been to a seminar by Colin Campbell. And he like, wow, really? He was like really interested in health. So when he came to me, long story short, I was like, I went through, you know, the evaluation form. And then, you know, I told him about, you know, they could choose some books. And I introduced the Ellen White, you know, because we had some Ellen White books. And I said, you know, I told him, you know, this is, you know, something like, you know, this is the third most translated author in history, the most translated American author, millions and millions of copies, over 100 languages, written on many different topics from, you know, theology to health. And actually, I said, have you heard about, I said to him, because I knew this, I said, have you heard about the China study? And he's like, yeah, yeah. and Colin Campbell, yeah, yeah. Actually, he was influenced by her, what she wrote about health, I said. And he's like, oh, I want that book. And he took the Great Controversy. And I like, it was really funny. And I like, oh yeah, you can get it, but this one is not about health. She writes about other things as well. But if we didn't have the Ministry of Healing, unfortunately. But I said, if you write your contacts, I can send you that book as well. And he said, yeah, yeah, he wanted that. So like, I think for him, the best way to get Ellen White book in his hands was through his interest, through help. And if you maybe a professor, book education. Like, there are so many stories and examples of people that are high up in health, researchers or education, that have been really amazed when they read Ellen White, what she wrote, you know, 100 years ago. So far ahead of science. So far, there are so many stories. We don't have time to. One of the most famous ones is Colin Campbell, which in turn influenced Bill Clinton to become a vegan. And, you know, it's so many ripple effects from her. It's powerful. Okay, Sundan. Number 16, use resources. There are a lot of good resources that can be very helpful. For instance, Shepherd Cole's ministry, they have some, or Christian Berdahl, he has music when he sings songs connected to the writings, or sometimes he talks and shares, reads some of her visions. It's beautiful music, beautiful things. He also has a daily devotional based on a devotional book from Ellen White, the compilation, Our Father Cares. You can watch short video devotionals. can be something you can look at every day, maybe while you eat breakfast or whatever. Lifestyle TV has a series on based on the Great Controversy in Scandinavia. A lot of people watch this, or they get quite some good feedback from this series, and people order Great Controversy by watching this. Fountain View Music, that's a great resource. You can get Matheson Booth or Skriftstedet. You can buy some of them. They have like Steps to Christ, Helpful Daily Living, Great Controversy they have as well. Beautiful, beautiful music in sublime nature, where they also share a little bit some well-chosen words in between the songs. Very, very nice gift. Like to give someone something like this to someone that likes music for Christmas or whatever. Like, great thing. Great, great resource. That appealing way to share these messages. And would make people interested to read the books, you know. That's audiobooks on Audioverse, for instance, you can get. There is also another webpage called... what is it called again? EllenWhiteAudio.org. You have actually have a lot, almost all her writings in audio, in many different languages, actually. So that can be a great when you drive or whatever, work, you can listen to audiobooks. You also have Ellen White program, all her writings, you can search on your computer, whatever, do a lot of nice things. They're also online. You can find it, egwhitewritings.org. Great resource to have to find stuff for ourselves. She also has an app, or Ellen White app. There is also an app with answers to Ellen White criticism, actually. It's called the Ellen White Answers, Ellen White Writing, so it's two apps that is nice to have. The White Estate is a good resource. You can ask questions, you can find answers to questions. That's some good resources. A last point, and then we need to wrap up. Follow up tactfully. It can be good to follow up, to ask someone if you give them a book, you know, so what do you think? Have you read something? You shouldn't do it too much. You shouldn't hunt them, you know. But it's natural. If you give something, you like this book, it's not weird that you want to hear, you know, what they think. And that could help them. That could encourage them maybe to read and, you know, if you don't do it too much, but a little bit. It can lead to good conversations. It can help them to inspire them to read. In closing, I want to show you a short, like 2 minutes video clip that is really powerful I need to change here because it didn't work on there. It's from Alfred Lee, an artist that tells the story of a Jewish rabbi. What's his name again? He will tell a story here. And you can watch it online, actually. On YouTube, you can find this clip as well. But, okay, let's see.
There's a lot of symbolism in here. Then to the right, you have baptism by immersion, which represents death, burial, and resurrection to newness of life. The Last Supper, the Holy Supper there with Jesus. And I had a Jewish rabbi help me with this painting. Mm-hmm. Rabbi from Ronald Reagan's staff. Mm-hmm. He hated the name of Christ. He hated Christianity. He would rather burn the Bible than touch it.
Really?
But he got hold of a book called Patriarchs and Prophets. Mm-hmm. He started reading. This is about my people. Who is this Ellen White? What university did she get her doctorate? Where did she learn Hebrew? I said... I met him just at that time. I said, this lady had only a third grade education. She's only the most prolific female writer in history. She has written more books than any woman in world history. And she never went to a university. She never knew Hebrew. But he said, impossible. This woman's writings are Hebrew. Their sentence structure, their meter, their rhythm, the expressions are as if she wrote in Hebrew.
Wow.
Furthermore, the material written in this book is Mishnaic, which was not translated into English till 30 years ago. When did she live? Oh, she died back in 1915. How did she know this stuff? Nobody but we rabbis know this. Mm. He says, I am convinced that this woman was inspired by the same source that inspired the Hebrew prophets. I want to become a Christian.
Wow, isn't that incredible?
He would not have come to Christ by reading the Bible. He came by reading the books of Ellen White. He fell in love with Jesus and the Bible, and I was at his secret baptism in the Bear River just above Sacramento.
Right. One reason is because he really didn't have an interest to read the Bible. But this, he read it and just really...
His aunt had been raped in Eastern Europe while a Catholic priest stood over her with a crucifix. Mm-hmm. Said, this is what you get for killing Christ. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine how Eastern Jews, as they relate to Eastern Christians, feel about Christians and Christianity?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So isn't that a powerful testimony? Like a Jewish rabbi opposed to Christianity, he would never have read the Bible, but he was willing to pick up this book, Patriarchs and Prophets, and he was so amazed by the deep insight, by the beauty of that book, that he understood and accepted the gospel. And the powerful thing is, there are many stories like that. He shares, I've heard him share, or several other stories with other Jews actually, share similar stories. And many other people. There are many people that would not have been led to Christ or accepted Christ if it wasn't for these messages, tailor-made for these last days, for these last days. There are many people in this world that God wants to reach through these messages. There are many people that God, through our influence, through your influence, through that He wants to lead you to share these truth-filled books that otherwise wouldn't accept Christ, that otherwise wouldn't be a part one day of God's great and glorious kingdom. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that interesting? This is indeed powerful messages. This is end time dynamite that God wants us to share. And the question is if we want to use this tool. Do you want to share it? Do you want to try to pray for divine appointments and go out and share this? I want to do that. You know. Should we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for this great gift you have given us. Help us to value it and appreciate it as we should. And God, we want to pray that you may, give us divine appointments. Help us to see people in our lives we know right now, or the people you want us to meet, and maybe even as we travel back today or from this conference. Give us opportunities, God, to share these messages. And thank you that you will lead us in contact with people, and you will lead people to Christ as a result of that. Give us wisdom and tact to know how to do it in the best possible way. We pray be with us the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.